Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Hour, live, 1220 Christian Radio on the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is Kent Littlejohn, standing in for your regular co-host, John Bartlett, who is the night off tonight. So for the next hour, I'll be your co-host tonight with our effervescent Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And you can always re-listen to this and any of our past programs at shofarministries.net. And as always, let us begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has saved us from our sins. Thank you for the ability to be on the air for many faithful listeners who prayerfully support this program. Please bless them and their families and friends. We lift to you the prayer requests sent in to the ministry this month. Please grant them favor and answers to their petitions. And Lord, particularly during this Passover season, please soften the hearts of our family members and listeners who still need to be saved by the truth of your word. For you alone, Jesus the Messiah, God in the flesh, who died and rose again, so that we can have eternal life with you forever. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, Kent. Now, see, that wasn't so bad. Welcome to the program. He's a little nervous tonight, but I sure appreciate you taking the time to help me out this evening. And Shalom Aleichem to you and to all the listeners today on this fine, fine day.
Okay, what exactly does Shalom Aleichem mean?
Aleichem. Say Aleichem.
Aleichem.
Okay. Yeah, Aleichem. It just means Shalom is the peace, and it means peace upon you, okay, specifically. And it's often used during Passover, and since we are officially in the season of Passover, what could be a better topic for tonight?
Seems right to me.
And I'd like to remind our listeners that your end-time Bible questions can be emailed to me or call and leave a detailed message, and I will either answer on the air or by email or return phone call.
And so the lines are open for your end-time questions concerning the Spring Feast, which is our topic tonight, 888-677-WORD.
Thank you. You know, Kent, before we go on, I just want the people to know a little bit about you. How long have you been saved?
Oh, for nearly 10 years now. It's funny because many people can tell you what shirt they wore the day they were saved, but, you know, God really knows. Years ago, I went to hear an evangelist, and he said, just believe in Jesus and call on his name.
Amen.
And, you know, I like the idea of fire insurance, but went forward several years. It took several years for the fruit to show, but about 10 years now.
All right. Well, give us a little bit, you know, like your church history and where you started going and that kind of thing.
We've bounced around quite a bit, been in and out of several churches, started off as a brethren, and went to a Lutheran church, Catholic church, and Baptist and non-denominational, and today we're at the Assembly of God, where a wonderful pastor, Steve Sawchuk, is teaching us in Chesterland, Ohio, and I believe that's where God has us.
That's one of my favorite churches as well.
Yeah, we're very blessed.
Of course, it couldn't have anything to do with the fact that I'm there every first Friday of the month, but no, it's a good church.
Very.
So one more thing, and this is the important thing. When did you begin to study Hebraic roots?
Well, I got a sample of it a few years back at a non-denominational church. We had a Messianic Jewish pastor who gave us quite a bit of a sampling. And it's been a few years now that we've been introduced to your ministry. And I look forward to the first Friday of every month where we learn so much about Hebraic roots. And I've said it before, it's like drinking out of a fire hose at one of your studies. You know, like Scripture says, don't be on the milk, but be on the meat. You know, and every first Friday I know I'm going to have filet mignon. So thanks to you and the Lord.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I did not make him say that, people, just so y'all know. But anyway, thank you for sharing. And in honor of Kent, we have a special, special thing tonight. Since you are here, we are going to give away 3 DVDs on the Spring Feast to the first 3 callers with any comment, hopefully good, but even if it's bad, or an end-time question, or question on the feast, which we'll be talking about, especially the Spring Feast, I should say. And you don't even have to be on the air if that bothers you. Just tell our producer who answers the phone your comment, and he'll relay that to us. But the first three callers, and that number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
I'd like to remind our listeners that your end-time Bible questions can be emailed to Sheila, or you can call and leave a detailed message. She will answer either on the air or by email or sometimes return a phone call. And the phone lines are now open for your end-time questions or concerning the spring feasts, which is the topic tonight. Again, 888-677-WORD. What's happening in the news, Sheila?
Oh, a couple things. Oh, yes, I almost forgot about that. Anyway, as you know, President Obama has been in Israel. And unfortunately, I think after a little bit of pressure, Israel's Prime Minister, Netanyahu, has apologized to Turkey for the 2010 raid, that was 2010 raid, on the Gaza-bound flotilla that left several Turkish nationals dead. But the IDF were defending themselves. You know, they were attacked for trying to inspect the ship carrying weapons into Gaza to the Hamas. Okay, so you might say, well, it was nice for him to be humble and to move on, which it was originally expected. However, as soon as BO left the Middle East, Turkey decides, since Israel acknowledged what they did was wrong, of course, we both know it really wasn't, Turkey wants Israel now to pay the families of those who were killed and immediately stop all inspections of any further ships headed to Gaza.
Wow, are you kidding me?
No, it's true. And then our new Secretary of State, John Kerry, went to Iraq to ask them to stop allowing Iran, which is their neighbor, to use its airspace to fly weapons into Assad's army. They said no.
After all we did for them.
Yeah. But then again, we're gone, and Iran is slowly infiltrating Iraq now and will probably take over the country at some point, covertly at first by telling Maliki what to do, which probably is the case right now. Hence, airspace remains open to Iran. So anyway, did you happen to, and I'm going to open this up for the people, did you hear what President Peres of Israel said to Obama? He said, "Welcome home." Now, for the life of me, I don't know what that meant. So if anybody's listening and you know that why he would say welcome home when it certainly isn't one of his homes, I would like to know about that. So I don't know. Is there something that we don't know about going on?
I don't know myself.
I don't know. All right. Well, anyway, in his address, in Barack Obama's address to, by the way, mostly students, he wanted to talk to the younger generation, which he always does. And he didn't want anyone there from the conservative University of Ariel. And they weren't invited. And, of course, that's because they're very conservative, not liberal at all. And the Palestinians see them as an obstacle to peace. Apparently, the college is on disputed land. So they weren't allowed to come. And what Obama did was he urged young Israelis to create change, to nudge their leadership to act. Now, I don't know if you're getting this, but he likes to start revolutions. We know that. And it's the progressive agenda. You create chaos and then produce the solution. So you have chaos and then it equals order and you get hailed as doing that. And that's what the Antichrist is going to do, by the way, when he comes. It'll be a lot of wars and he will stop it and produce order. But anyway, Barack Obama, as you know, supported revolutions in Tunisia, Yemen, certainly Egypt, Libya, and the latest is Syria. And now we must face the fact that Al-Qaeda has joined in the revolution with the rebels, and the threat of using chemical weapons, which they have already had a taste of last week, will be used. So that's the problem. And Barack Obama had not one word to say about the Hamas rockets that were fired into southern Israel while he was actually meeting with the Palestinian leaders.
Wow, standing in front of a picture of Arafat. Wow.
Yeah, did you catch that? That is amazing because he made such a stink and when he was talking at Georgetown University last year, he made them cover up the crosses so not to offend anyone.
Wow.
Such gall. But yet that picture, yeah, I saw that. So, my goodness. I do want to make mention of a caller here. Says Perry would like to know what the bitter herbs in the Passover meal consists of. Well, that's interesting because we were just talking about that, and the bitter herbs represents the hard times that the chosen people had in Egypt. And that's why they eat the bitter herbs, because it represents those hard times. All right?
That's right.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Perry, and he gets a free DVD. Make sure you leave your address with our producer. Okay? All right. My producer's trying to get me to read sign language, and I can't do it. Oh, Perry is a girl. All right. Thank you. Well, I didn't know that. All right. Thank you, Perry, for calling. More in the news. Obama has promised Jordan $200 million in aid while Barack Obama's daughters are vacationing in the Bahamas with Secret Service, which costs thousands. Now, I'm sure this is an easy way to explain to the poor kids who can't go on tours of the White House because of the sequester.
Sheila, why give the Jordan all that money?
Well, actually, it's to help fray the costs of all the refugees that are crossing its border fleeing from Syria. I mean, I'm glad that they're able to get out because it's a mess over there. But again, we just keep giving more of our money away. Why doesn't someone else help Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm telling you, our president has an agenda, and he wants to definitely increase our debt.
Huh.
And to add more news on the sensible spending, the Pentagon wants $49 million to rejuvenate the prison at Guantanamo Bay for special detainees. Of course, they can add that to their basketball court. Maybe they'll put in a soccer field or something. But, you know, these guys are used to living in caves. Now they have a resort to live in. I don't know about you, but it's just...
Maybe the lines of the court needed...
Not right.
Yeah.
All right, and one last item. The new Pope Francis is absolutely wasting no time in embracing all religions as one. He is continuing in his predecessor's footsteps, and everybody loves him. Oh, they just fall at his feet. Deception is everywhere.
It seems pretty obvious that this pope is moving us quicker towards that one world religion.
Yeah, I think he is definitely, and that's probably why he's there now, because God's schedule is right on time.
No surprise. Seems like every time we turn around, every single day, there's another prophecy unfolding before our very eyes.
I know. I can hardly wait to get up in the morning. But unfortunately, darkness is getting darker. Simply put, evil is growing quickly. The God of this world is enhancing its power. Have you yourself gone food shopping lately, Kent?
It's getting crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know who does the shopping at your house, but I'm paying twice as much as I did a year ago even.
Right.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, for the same amount. You know.
And it's interesting that Revelation, one of the first, I think that's in the Seal Judgments, says that food shortages will be high and very expensive. So we are seeing everything that's going to happen during the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, only on a very small scale.
Yep.
So, also, look at the precarious weather. We've been having that for a while. Another mediator went flying by the other meteor. Mediator.
The one in Russia?
No, we had one somewhere around the United States.
Oh, okay.
Didn't land. I guess it dissipated, they say.
Okay.
But still, it was pretty close.
Wow.
But again, Revelation 7 and 8 calls for stars falling from heaven. And that certainly looks like a star to me.
Yep.
So, and then the other thing, of course, is homosexuality has almost completely taken over. Even now, the Republicans are saying it's okay, and you really are called a bigot still if you stand up for God's word.
It's just blatant immorality.
I know. Pleasures of self, it's an idol called the God of humanism. And don't forget, all the ethnic wars we are seeing, and if we're not seeing a war, we are hearing of a rumor of one, just like the Bible said.
Matthew 24, right?
That's right. And also deception, but I think probably deception tops it all. I mean, it's, well, you know, like I mentioned last week, that super sweetness of the Jesuit new pope. Read the oath that all Jesuits of the higher ranks especially must take, and he is of a high rank. But again,
I think he talked about that last week on the radio.
Yes.
What an eye-opener that was. And I think it's on your web now, right?
It is, yeah. We usually try to get the program on within like 2 days up on the website. So, and I also want to mention that on April 5th, I'll be addressing this topic of the Jesuits and that and answering your questions at your church, Chester Christian Center in Chesterland. And I'm going to have some really good pictures, I might add.
Pictures worth a thousand words sometimes.
Sometimes they are. And anyone we must, anyhow, is there someone on the line? No? Okay. Anyhow, we must move on, but no one can deny we are indeed seeing all the signs of his soon coming judgment on the earth dwellers. And how do we know that, Kent?
Well, it's as our good old buddy John says, it's in the Bible and it's called prophecy.
Very good. Yes, you're so right. So people, study the prophet books and just believe what it says. Don't symbolize it or allegorize it. Take it literally and learn. And learn even if only a little of your Jewish roots, like their usual customs, their holidays and expressions of the day, especially during the first century. They have changed a little bit, like during the Dark Ages and stuff. So you want to stick to first century theology.
You know, I have to say from experience, the enemy's going to try and tell you that you don't need to, or it's too hard or overwhelming. But you know, Sheila, your program and your materials and your teachings help us grow in these Hebraic root lessons.
Thank you. And there's a wealth of information on those archives. And since today, this is the season of Passover, we're going to do a mini-teaching on the Fulfilled Spring Feast. A more expanded teaching is on the DVD and available to order on my webpage, shofarministries.net. Or today, you can still call in for your free copy. I think we might have one left. So if you go to last year's radio archives, you can also hear like a two-week study on the Spring Feast. And again, they're free.
And a great way to introduce yourself to Hebraic roots, which is by starting with the Spring Feast.
Yeah, it really is, because those are the first of seven, and if you can get, you know, some knowledge about that, then that's huge prophecy right there that's already been fulfilled. You know, but I think before we get into the Spring Feast, I do want to play a beautiful song by Mentors Homebred, Amy Safira. And believe me, no one can do this song better than she. And it's called the Via Della Rosa. Oh, it's just heavenly.
You're listening to the Shofar Ministry Hour, and we'll be right back after this timely song.
But the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned.
Welcome back. What a moving song that was.
Oh.
What do these words mean?
Well, actually, it means the way of sorrow. Okay, the Via della Rosa, the way of sorrow. And that makes total sense because it's the way that Jesus walked to the cross. And I have been very fortunate to actually have walked down the Via della Rosa in Israel, which is actually underneath the street where people walk today. They actually did excavation and found it. And you can get down there now and walk on the actual, they say, the same stone that Jesus walked.
Wow.
So, very moving song. And Amy does wonderful. And she also does the worship at Lakeshore Assembly of God, where I often teach and mentor. And is actually the daughter to Pastor Jim and Lisa Porostowski at Lakeshore. So.
And let me also mention, you'll be back at Chester Christian Center on April 5th, as you are every first Friday of the month.
Yes, and I hope that some of you can join us.
For those who don't live too far away.
Right. 2 hours is, you know, probably the limit. No, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I used to have someone who used to come out for an hour and a half. She drove.
Wow.
One way, yeah. Well, anyway.
Dedicated.
Okay, before I do that, I want to answer. We had a couple questions during the break. And the first question was from Joan, and it says, where in Revelation does it speak of the pre-trib rapture? I have to say, if you're looking at the book of Revelation, it's actually, it would be chapter 4, where John is called up. It's a type of the rapture being called up, and then right after that is when the tribulation begins. So I would say Revelation chapter 4, and Jesus actually says, come up here. Okay? And then another question was, the Feast of Trumpets, on Rosh Hashanah, and I just want to say that we did a couple shows in the archives titled The Last Trump, which is an idiom for the Feast of Trumpets. And it's a whole hour show just on the reasons why I believe that Rosh Hashanah will be the Feast of, well, not the Feast of Trumpets necessarily, but, I mean, it is, but when the rapture will take place. So look for that. I think originally it was dated 626, one of those years. I'm sorry. And I think our producer's looking it up, but otherwise it's called The Last Trump. So it's labeled. Just find that one, and you'll be very blessed by listening to that. And then Ed said, why aren't pastors coming against Obama more? And I don't know. You know, I pretty much do my own thing, so I don't get to visit a lot of churches. And the one I do, the couple I do talk about him. So if yours isn't, I'm not sure why. If I were you, I would go and ask them.
Yeah.
I think it's we need to start asking our pastors why or why not are they doing things or in that, because sometimes they don't even know that you want to hear that kind of stuff. Same thing with Hebraic Roots. Sometimes pastors don't even know that the people care. So if you start asking them, well, you start teaching on the feast and that, I bet they would.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yep.
Okay, so let's get on with our study tonight. And we're going to talk about the spring feast, because those are the ones that are representative this week, but it's also the ones that Jesus actually fulfilled literally with his first coming. So I think it's important that we talk about it, don't you?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Now, here's the interesting thing. Not only were the first three feasts, and actually the fourth one as well, historical in application, they actually happened. But then we're going to see how Jesus fulfilled it again, literally, with his coming. In other words, he kept the appointment. And by the way, I just was told that the last Trump was from last year, 712.
So,
oh, 17. Oh, my goodness, my glasses. I guess I need a new pair. 717-2012. So that is for that man who wanted to know when the trumpet, last trumpet was.
So he could pull that off the archive, off your website at shofarministries.net.
Just click on it and listen to it.
And download it. Yep.
Yes. Now, let's have you read, because God made and Moses recorded in the Torah in Leviticus 23, the seven appointments with his chosen people. And I just want to read verse 2. Could you do that for me, Kent?
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts.
Now, remember that the feast, the Hebrew word is moed, and that actually means appointments. I wish they would have said appointments, but they don't. They say feast, so.
Of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations.
The word convocation is mikra, and it means rehearsal.
These are my feasts, which means appointments.
That's right. So here we got the Lord's telling them to observe these every year, because they're rehearsals for when Jesus comes to fulfill them. And that way they would, you know, remember.
So
anyway, we know that Jesus kept the first four of those appointments literally and openly for all to see at the time of his first coming. And now we, as born-again believers, are anticipating the last three that we talk about each fall season to be kept by Jesus Christ as well. Do you know the names of those?
Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles.
Very good. And the first three appointments then that Jesus literally already fulfilled are called, do you know?
Yeah. Let me flip back to my chapter here. Oh, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, First Fruits.
That's right. And then we know that he sent the Holy Spirit as the fourth feast in Acts chapter 2. All right, now I think we're just going to go by the Hebrew calendar, okay, just so that it doesn't have confusion, because each year it's different on the Gregorian calendar. But on the Hebrew calendar, Nisan 14 is the beginning of Passover. That was last night. And there is a historical fulfillment or first time. And do you know what that is, the historical application of Passover?
It's Israel's deliverance out of the bondage.
That's right.
Out of Egypt.
That's right. And what they did first, of course, was put the blood around the door so that the firstborn would be spared. and then they could leave the next day, which would have been Nisan 15, and this is called unleavened bread. They couldn't wait for the bread to be raised, and of course there's a lot of application with that, but basically the historical then would be the actual leaving of Egypt.
Okay. Going out of Egypt.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then on the 17th of Nisan, which is called the first fruits, and by the way, the first fruits is always the day after the Sabbath, so it's always a Sunday, and it's always during Passover week, and originally it was Nisan 17, which was that Sunday morning, but that is the day historically, what did the Israelites do?
Crossing the Red Sea.
Yeah, they went through the Red Sea, so that actually gave them new life, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They were free from the bondage of Egypt, which is a picture of the world to us, and they were given a new life. So now let's look at it spiritually. The three feasts that Jesus fulfilled literally when he came the first time would be Passover by him putting his blood on the cross. And what's interesting about this is that it was done, and we know this by Exodus 12:6, that his side was actually pierced at the same time the lamb was slain back in Egypt.
At 3 in the afternoon.
Right, or twixt the evening.
Okay.
Right, not at sundown, which some Bibles say. You have to be careful. It was twixt the evening, which means in the middle of when the sun starts to set until sundown, and that's 3 o'clock.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. Same time. So he was so exact, and there's so many other things, and when if you do get the DVD, you'll see so many more pictures here that we just really can't take the time to do today.
Okay.
If I want to show you a picture that I haven't talked about.
Okay.
So, but the other thing is then they left Egypt on the 15th, which is unleavened bread. And, of course, that was the day that Jesus' body was put into the grave. It says burial. And what did he do? He took our sins with him to the grave.
Thank the Lord.
Amen to that. And then he rose on the Feast of First Fruits, Nisan 17, on the anniversary of when they went through the Red Sea, he rose from the dead. And what's interesting is just like the Israelites were given a new life, resurrection in Jesus gives us a new life.
That's wonderful.
It's really amazing on the same exact day.
Yeah, that only God could orchestrate such timing.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can prove this, by the way, pretty much. So it's, you know, like if you're a skeptic out there or you know somebody that is, you know, the history shows us these things. Jesus really was around and he really did die and he really did raise from the dead. And there was plenty of people that were witness to it.
Yeah.
So then he told him to tarry in Jerusalem until he sent the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, right on Pentecost, on the anniversary of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, because when they went through the Red Sea, 50 days later, they landed at Mount Sinai, and that's when God gave them the Ten Commandments and the rest of the Torah, 613 laws. And lo and behold, Jesus fulfilled that again by sending the Holy Spirit on exactly the same day, Pentecost, which is always a Sunday. And they received the Holy Spirit, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 2. So those are the four feasts that have actually been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Now there's a little gap, and this is the church age now that we're in right now. And at the end of the church age, on exactly that day, Jesus will call us home at the rapture. And I believe it'll probably be on a Rosh Hashanah, because that's the next feast to be fulfilled.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But don't know what year that is, so... Don't say I'm setting dates, all right?
Nope, we're not saying next Tuesday at noon.
That's right. No.
Which is the day and the hour.
However, you know, we'll talk about that another time as well. And we've talked about that last fall. If you go to the archives, I've talked about no one knows the day, the hour, and all that, and what that really could mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to get into that today because we'll run out of time if I do. So anyway, before we look at the first night of Passover now, the night before Jesus' death at the Last Supper, I need to remind you of some typology. Do you like typology, Kent?
Well, I like pictures. Is that the same thing?
Pardon me?
I like pictures.
Yes, it is the same thing. Okay, it really does add spiritual growth to anybody's walk, don't you think?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing, actually. So see if you can get these pictures tonight as we examine. We'll start out with the tabernacle in the wilderness.
It is the same typology in the temple, right?
Yes, somewhat. It's without the linen fence around it. That's what they had in the wilderness. But yeah, same thing with the brazen altar, the water to wash in, and then the holy place. But remember this. This is very important. There was only one way in, or one gate, on the eastern side.
Which is like a picture of Christ, only one way to the Father.
Exactly. There's only one way to the Father, so there was only one gate in. Now, they would immediately offer their sacrifice on the brazen altar, which, by the way, bronze is always a symbol for judgment. So, they would offer their sacrifice on the brazen altar for forgiveness of their sins.
Again, another picture of Christ sacrificing himself as judgment
for our sin.
Yeah,
he takes our judgment for sin.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, then they would wash in a big basin of water called the laver before they could even go into the holy place to burn the incense. Do you see a picture there?
Well, I know the incense is like a picture of their prayers being offered up to God.
That's correct. But there is another huge picture here as well that Christians often miss. Now, as you said, to be saved, we can only enter through Christ, no other way.
John 14:6.
Yes, it says that. Then we must accept that he died for our sins on the altar called the cross.
So you're saying, like, before we can go any deeper in our walk, we must, like, be washed in the water.
Exactly. In other words, to really pray more effectively, it would be very advantageous to spiritually enter the holy place. But you can't do that unless you're first washed in the water. And Ephesians 5:26 clears this up by telling us that we must be washed in the water of the Word to continue on with our sanctification process.
Okay, I got it. So the laver is a picture of the Word that we must be washed in first before we can enter into the holy place so we can grow and pray more effectively.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's such a picture. You know, everything in the Old Testament is a picture. So all we have to do is read the Old Testament and start looking for pictures, and you can really enjoy yourself in there. Really. But here's the lesson. So many try to enter into the holy place of prayer without effectively reading the Word. Or perhaps they'll read it just a little. But a lot of Christians just want to sidestep this important requirement to get right into prayer when the proper order, and God is a God of order, is first the Word. You've got to be washed in the Word before you can continue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the backdrop when reading now in John 13, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Remember at the Passover?
Mm-hmm.
After the dinner, I always thought it only meant that we were to be servants to the body of Christ, just like Jesus first came as a servant. And that is true. But there really is a deeper meaning as well.
As often the case in Scripture.
Well, yes. But at first reading, I thought Jesus was a little harsh when he told Peter, well, because Peter didn't want him to wash his feet. And Jesus says, well, you can't have any part of me unless I wash your feet. And until I saw this picture, I didn't really get it. But what he was saying is that we cannot be used unless we, as well, wash in the water of him.
Who today is represented by his Word.
That's right. And Ephesians 5:26 tells us that we have to be washed in the water of his Word. So that's all he was doing. You see, they had just finished the Passover dinner, which was a picture of Christ's soon sacrifice and the fulfillment of the brazen altar sacrifice in the tabernacle. So, again, what was that next step? They had to wash in the laver of the water. So this is why Jesus poured the water into the basin.
Which is like a picture of the laver in the tabernacle.
And used to wash the disciples is a picture of washing in the water of his Word. So basically, in order to be used in his service, and isn't that what we all want?
Mm-hmm.
You betcha. Because he is the Word, we have to wash in it. You know, and if we don't do that, then we're going to sidestep it, and then we're going to start getting thinking that we're supposed to be doing such and such when it really isn't from the Lord. And then in 6 months, someone says, well, I thought I was supposed to be doing this, but it turns out that wasn't right. And again, we have to be in the Word of God in order to hear Him, to see what our gifts are, to find out what our calling is. So basically, Chad, just recap a little bit about what I just said.
I think what you're saying is without washing in His Word, we can't really be used effectively.
Yeah.
So when Peter realized what was really going on, he asked Jesus to wash his hands too.
He did.
Right.
Right. So, just like in the temple, there was a reason why it's set up the way it was. And at first, there's only one opening into the temple area, one gate only. Then the brazen altar is the sacrifice that Christ did for us. But then you got to be washed in the water of the Word before you can get into the holy place to light the incense, which is a symbol of the prayer. And then the Holy of Holies is after that. And that's where you really meet with God. But this is a step-by-step procedure. It's also called the process of sanctification that we all must go through. But it's the Word that's going to do that. So if you're sidestepping the Word, you're going to have a real tough time. And then sometimes you're going to wake up and you're going to say, oh, this Christian walk is just so hard. And why is God allowing this? And why is God allowing that? When in fact, if you've just spent time in the Word, you would understand what's happening and you would know who it's coming from. And if it's an attack from the enemy, you'll have the power to fight that because you'll have all your armor on. So that's it. That's the picture of the Word right there. And that's what He did on Passover night. And that was actually last night this year. So we're in the season of Passover. And I just hope that people will remember this little story and be able to pass it on. Because so many times people are going to be washing everybody else's feet. And when really there's a deeper meaning to that. And then we're going to see in John 14 also in verse 14 that it says we should wash each other's feet. But again, that meant...
You mean to share scripture truths with one another.
Well, certainly.
Right.
And boy, does that please me, because I don't really like people looking at my ugly dogs. Amen. Oh, well, all right. I just want to point out a couple other things. We have a few minutes, but I wanted to point out that in verses 4 and 5, still in John 13, the towel that He actually used to wipe them, to wipe their feet, was the white linen. And that's the same kind of linen that was around the wilderness temple. The tabernacle, you know, it was surrounded by a linen fence.
Okay.
Okay. So it was also the same kind of linen that He was wrapped in when He was born in swaddling cloths.
Wow.
Yeah. So Jesus now in the next three chapters teaches His truths. And what is really interesting is typologically we see Him entering into the holy place and praying to His Father in chapter 17, which is the most extraordinary conversion. And see, that's the whole thing. It's a God of order, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So first you go through the gate, then you accept the brazen altar, you wash in the water of the Word, then you pray, and then you see the Father. And He did the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, let's look at John's Gospel as a whole and see the order of the tabernacle as a type. In the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John, we have our Lord's birth and ministry on earth, to which all the people are admitted. Typologically, that would be in the first part of the tabernacle, or the outer court. See, everybody's allowed to be in the outer court of the temple.
Okay.
Okay. So, in the beginning of the Gospel of John, He's talking to the people in the outer court.
All right.
Okay. Now, He's called the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, fulfilling the sacrifice on the brazen altar in the outer court. Then in chapter 13, we see Jesus getting His disciples ready for ministry. And He gives them the example of the washing of the feet, you know, in the laver.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see in chapters 14 through 16, Jesus teaches them his word and reveals the Holy Spirit to them. You see the step here?
Mm-hmm.
They will soon be ready to enter the next phase of discipleship after his death. Then we see Jesus enters into the holy place in chapter 17. And then after his death, he will enter into the real Holy of Holies as he ascends into heaven and sits next to his Father till he calls us up there to Revelation 4. So anyway, I just wanted to point these things out to you and to be able to see how Jesus and God is, they're so orderly. And basically, I just hope the teaching stirs you all up to study more and get closer to him. But you'll never get closer to him if you don't wash in the water. Amen?
Yep, amen.
All right. So we have 5 minutes. Kent, how did you like your first program?
Good.
To co-host. You did a fine job, really.
Well, thank you.
I know you're a little nervous, but I don't think you're that nervous anymore.
Oh, I appreciated the opportunity.
I know. All right. Well, it was good having you as well. All right. I just want to say that if you have any questions for me or if you would like me to speak at your church or your group, just send me an email, Sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can call my office, and I want to give you that number. It's area code 440-834-9006. That's the office number. You can call and leave a detailed message, and I'll either answer your question or call you back or whatever.
And any and all donations are extremely important and vital to the Hebraic Root Ministry. So please pray about helping us to sponsor the Shofar Ministry Hour. And you can use PayPal on our web or send a gift to Shofar Ministries at Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And all donations are automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. Why not check out shofarministries.net, where the newsletters and previous programs are archived, and Hebraic Roots teaching DVDs, and there are teaching CDs proving the pre-trib rapture as well.
That's right, and we have a couple-page list of all the pre-trib rapture scriptures on there as well. Lots of information. There's no reason why you can't grow, and it's free. So what are you going to do? And if you tell me you don't have a computer, you just walk over to the library,
yep.
Get in your car.
They have a lot of nice
computers. They have really nice computers. Yep. They'll show you how to use them. There's absolutely no excuse these days, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just say this before we have to leave. If you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, oh, what are you waiting for? Maybe you are concerned you might be one of those who only have a head knowledge. And there's a lot of those, too. And so you really have to examine yourself and make sure you have a real heart conviction. Get on your knees right now. Repent, particularly of those individual sins that are kind of lingering on in your life. Then commit, or in some cases, just to be sure, recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah of all, to those who desire it. But it's always your choice to choose him, thereby making it your decision. So where do you want to spend eternity? God doesn't send anyone to hell. You decide yourself where your soul, that never dies, spends eternity. It has to go somewhere. Are you willing to take a chance that it's going the wrong place? Not me. So you choose, is it with God or is it with Satan? You decide. Just don't waste your life away. Because of Jesus' resurrection, you can live forever. And who knows what God can accomplish right now through you. We still have a little time. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, John usually does this, and I'm going to try it. The erotic blessing, which you can find in number 622 through 27. So here we go. Yivarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Ye'er Adonai pana v'leka v'kuneka, Yisa Adonai pana v'leka v'yisem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please try to be with us on Friday, August 5th at the Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio. That's 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chesterland at 7 p.m. Until then, Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. It says shall prosper, not maybe. You can find that in Psalm 122:6. And when you pray for Jerusalem, you're praying for Jesus to return. And that's what we all want. So till next week, have a good week.
Amen.
Happy Passover.
Happy Passover.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.